grass, ganja, joint, doobie, doo, chronic, ace, lobo, loco, loveboat, bud, buddha, blunt, pot, pat, pin, chiba, chiba, 420, and hashish, or hash for short. It's all marijuana.
This is Marijuana Media.
Come here, man. Marijuana.
Welcome, 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 welcome. This is a safe place to talk about marijuana, everybody. The phone number is 309-3879. If you have a pressing question, Chris isn't the massivest fan of answering pressing questions, but he will do that.
I love it. I will answer any question within reason.
5395 is the text line. Let's get involved. What's
important
going on, Chris?
Qualifier right there.
What's happening out there in the world of the dak leaf?
Right. Let's just start with another good news. We heard last week, Arik Rice, director of Drug Lord, guest of the show a few times, got off, discharged without conviction on these spurious cannabis charges they had him on. And now, this week, Green Fairy, John Patrick, down on the West Coast, discharged without conviction.
What is a Green Fairy? Green Fairy is someone that supplies marijuana to someone that needs it for, like, an illness or something, right? That's generally
exactly,
the vibe.
They're the term, I guess it's unique to New Zealand. It's describing the people who are providing to all these patients that need it. Now,
right.
1 in 20 New Zealanders are using cannabis medicinally, and it doesn't just appear out of nowhere.
Yeah.
It's coming from these Green Fairies, and
they're
not doing it for commercial motives, they're doing it to help people. You know?
Got a better ring to it than dealer, doesn't it?
Well, it does, and I guess it was a bit of taking back that conversation.
Cool.
That was the kind of term that was being labelled on people, and there was a long time there where the police were, no matter what people's motivation
motives,
for providing cannabis to other people, they would always just say, you're a dealer, you're a dealer.
It wouldn't even matter, would it? It's just, you know.
Yeah, and that medical supply didn't really count for anything, but you know, now it does. So the judges are taking note.
Perfect.
And letting people off. And John was involved with helping out, I'm sure I can say this because it's all come out in court and they've all been discharged. So helping out Rose Renton, and Rose Renton, of course, very well-known medicinal cannabis activist after her son, Alex, passed away, but was helped with the CBD, the first CBD use in the hospital. And
wow.
So she was also let off, discharged without conviction, before Christmas on some charges, and then last month on the last remaining one, and now... And where John actually, where this all came from, was a package in the mail that leaked a bit of oil, and New Zealand Post called in the police.
Oh, shit.
And they tracked it from the tracking, and there you go.
Wow.
Yeah. So,
I would have thought they've got way more stuff to worry about coming through the mail than a little bit of weed oil.
Possibly.
That's
there's a protocol, you know, manager gets involved, things have to happen.
Yeah,
I don't know. But, so anyway, that's bloody good news. It shows that things are moving ahead of the law. These things always take time, but the courts and the police even, as we were saying last week, the number of arrests have dropped dramatically. So from the highs in the 90s, and when we started doing things like J-Day, which is coming up in a couple of months, May the 4th, Star Wars Day, May the 4th, Albert Park, nationwide, of course, all around the world, in fact.
Right on.
And, but back when we started it, the police were arresting 20 to 25,000 people a year, right? And about between 17 and 20,000 of those every year were use or possession charges, right? And about 3 to 5,000 what they call supply type ones, which includes growing for yourself, but whatever, providing cannabis, that was all the growers and all the dealers were about 3 to 5,000. The rest was all use. If you look at the arrest rate over those last 25 years, we're now getting 1,000 use arrests a year, and about the same number of the other ones, so 3 to 5,000. So we've had this massive reduction that, you know, they're actually still arresting the same number of people for dealing or growing, but this huge reduction by more than, what, about 95% of the possession or use charges. So
cool.
That's got to be a good thing.
Better than bad, isn't it?
And it just shows, you know, you can have these kind of good approaches, and these have been under discussion a lot this week in the media, because there's been two people visiting New Zealand, and they did a public, an event down in Wellington last Friday, and this was a guy that was one of the designers of the system in Portugal.
Oh, right.
And another guy...
Isn't that just kind of open? Isn't it just like open season over there?
I'm going to really mangle his name. It's like Wow Gualau or something. I have no idea how to pronounce this guy's name, and I'm really sorry about that, but he's from Portugal, and he helped design that whole system.
Nice.
And then we have Eric Costin, who's one of the advisors for the Canadian system that's come in the last few months. So they were down meeting lots of people in Wellington, and in fact, tomorrow here in Auckland, there's a public event, 1 o'clock, I believe it is, here at Auckland University.
Oh, yeah?
And you can come along, anyone can go, and hear Eric Costin from Canada talk about the how they designed
the
that
framework.
System.
Yeah. Is it, looking at the system in Colorado and the system in Canada, is one better than the other? Is one a clear leader thus far?
Well, no, not quite yet. In that, they're all different. Canada, in fact, every province is different. I think they have like 17 provinces or something. Mm. So they've all got kind of slightly different rules, but within
Holland,
the national
Holland wins
framework.
The most.
Well, Holland's like grey zone, so there's still a bit of,
They kind of regressed a little bit, didn't they, strangely?
Yeah,
it was real odd.
There's a lot of politics
involved.
Could
only sell for local people with a license and all the stuff, because Germans were coming over and buying weed and going back home.
Yeah, and the supply side was never legalised, so there's still kind of crime involved in that.
That's right, you can't grow it. It's really weird.
You can't grow it or provide it to the... appears in the coffee shop magically. It's kind of weird. Colorado deliberately set their system so that ordinary people can get involved, and Canada's tried to do that too. That one of the, you know, there's two kind of objectives. One's public health, so you want to like minimize harm to consumers and to society, and that's best done through a regulated framework. The other one though is actually reducing the illicit market and reducing that criminal activity by creating a system that encourages people to go legal rather than puts up barriers. Mm. And you have to do that at an individual level. Like every consumer, you have to convince, hey, you should go to that legal shop, not your old dealer.
Right.
And if the old dealer's got better weed that's cheaper, well, they'll keep going there.
How do they generally, just while we're talking about this, I haven't really looked into it, but I'm sure you'll know. Mm. What's the price like? How do they have to like compete with like the black market on price, or do they go a little bit more? What's the deal there?
Well, legalized prices can be, tiny percent. Of the illicit economy, but they tend to tax them to maintain those prices.
That's what I figured.
And so if you get those taxes wrong, or in the case of Holland, they haven't taxed it, but they've made it difficult.
It felt like it was about the same amount.
And one of those things is that unofficially, they're trying to equalize prices with the rest of Europe, so it's not such a big, it's really cheap there.
You're right.
And
it's quality
places,
as well. It's like good shit.
That's
man.
Right. And in other places, they put on taxes to try and, raise funds and do all that kind of thing, and not have a total price drop so that you get people like, oh, sweet, I'll smoke an ounce a day, or that's the kind of thought, right?
Be,
the reality is people don't
do that. It's
got to
be a smooth transition.
People regulate their use. They're not kind of, oh, great, it's cheaper, I'll just have heaps.
It's kind of like cats with food, eh? Sort of eat what you need, don't you?
Well, that's right.
Dogs just
that's right.
Fat buggers.
John
thought
that's
that was
exactly
quite funny.
Right.
Do you like the little cat analogy?
Yeah, that was a good one. Cats are all the internet, man.
Different strokes for different folks, right? On the weed front.
100%, 100%. Well, the thing is we can look at what all these places are doing, like in Canada, each province with their own rules, and we can pick and choose what's really going to work here. And there's been a lot of concerns here over what the model will be at the retail level. Mm. Do we have like bottle stores, or do we have like kind of places where you can go and consume it, the equivalent of bars and things?
Is there a potential for maybe a marijuana theme park when all this blows over?
Sure. Health and safety first, though, as long as there's...
Don't be like that, John. It's a great idea.
If you can dream it.
Hey, thanks,
mate. You can build it or something like that.
Field of Dreams, of course, this Saturday at our Feeder Peninsula. Is that what you're talking about?
Hey, Chris, thank you very much. I'm actually curious, do we still have time for another question, actually? Just going back to the first conversation about medicinal cannabis in New Zealand, which is... being grown in the black market, are there any particular strains or that people go to for that market, or is there just no sort of communication as to what is the best?
Well, you kind of know when you're buying a sativa.
Yeah,
or
that's one of the issues. Yeah, but the reality is, what is sativa and indica? They're all mixed up.
Yeah,
in that.
True.
So that's part of the problem. Patients have to kind of work it out. There's some providers that really know their stuff and can guide them through it. There's others that aren't. But it's generally the doctors are the least informed of them all. And so that's part of the reason why we're getting this legal system, right? So that patients can get access to that kind of information. There has been some testing done recently. ESR, the government testing lab, set up a little program where some patient groups collected samples and sent them off to them.
Nice.
And just to see what was out there and what people were using.
Mm.
And they found that often it was just way out. It wasn't what people expected. They were thinking this is CBD only and it wasn't, or they were thinking there was none at all.
Whereabouts is that testing place exactly?
Mount Albert.
Whereabouts, do they have a rubbish bin or...?
Yeah, I'm sure they have a process. I'm sure they have it. Actually, I was just over at AUT.
Weed goes in, another gums out.
We've just been going through this with our... because we're getting some research going at AUT, and that's part of it. What do you do with your waste material?
Well, I'm just in Grafton, mate.
You can't have the rubbish guy...
I'm not far away, so it's okay. We'll figure something out.
Yeah,
Perfect. Cool, I think I might have sorted something out. This has been great.
Big Home Greens mulch.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you. See you next week.
Do it, man.
That was Marijuana Media.